Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's Mike Shope.
Hey, put a little... I never get this line out the first time. It's not even good. Hey, put a little bit more in there, cowboy.
And the bulldog.
What's your degree in?
Kicking ass and taking names.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Happy to have you along for the ride with us here on a gorgeous April Thursday. 80 degrees. We're not that far from 100. Joe's got to be nervous. He's got to be nervous.
A little nervous.
Got to be nervous about 100. It's going to be a long summer for you, Joe. I think I sense it's going to be a long, hot summer. Dreading that. We'll see if we get there. Glad to have you again. Mike Shope is away on vacation. I am the Bulldog, Sneaky Joe DiBiase, along for the ride as always. Joining us right now on the West Hur Hotline is our old friend Brian Duff from the Sabres broadcast crew. You see him on the pregame and intermission and postgame shows on MSG and lots of other social media work that he does with the Sabres and Pegula Sports and Entertainment. Brian, good afternoon. It's good to touch base with you again, my friend. How have you been?
Hit it. Oh, it's great to touch base with you, Bulldog. I was thinking, when was the last time that we accidentally or on purpose crossed paths at a concert venue?
Dude, I think you were at Pegs Park there. What's the official name of that? Down in the First Ward for a Sportsman's Americana Fest there. Leroy Towns and Uncle Ben's Remedy were playing, and I got a chance to play with both of them that night, and you were there at that show. Yep. And that's been a while now, man. That was like 4 or 5 years ago now, I think.
Yeah, well, this is, you're going to have to forgive me for never having made it there, but when we get back to normal, the Sportsman Tavern is like, I have to get there. I've still not been there to see a show. So.
Oh, well, you let me know. They're doing shows now and have been for a while and very safely distanced. In fact, I was lucky enough to again play with my buddies Leroy Towns there last June, I think. It was like the first show that they hosted. And, very safely spaced, and they took our temperatures and the whole thing. The 12th, I've been to a couple shows there with that. Both of those bands have played there a couple times. And I did just see an announcement on the old Twitter machine during the first hour of the show from the town ballroom promoting a show for late January of next year.
That's crazy, isn't it? I think
the world is healing, isn't that what they say, Brian? The world is healing. Like I've got a town ballroom tweet. I don't remember the band. I don't care. They've got a show that's booked, and that's amazing, right?
They've got a nice, beautiful new marquee by the looks of it down there at the ballroom too. So honestly, it's hard to believe, but at the same time, we're so thankful that we've had sports for the most part, even if it's in a different way, to help occupy the time. And, here we are in another, slightly delayed, but another NHL trade deadline and winding down to the end of another season with, who knows what lying ahead.
Before we get too far into any of that, because we ended up starting here, I'll say this now. I want to compliment you Marty, Dan, Rob, the whole crew, and the Sabres, right up to ownership, for the video that you guys that made the rounds on social media yesterday promoting vaccinations. I was really glad to see that from you guys, as someone who's had both shots already. My wife, of course, as a nurse practitioner, has been vaccinated since January. I'm driving, Leo and I are going to Corning on Saturday for him to get his first shot.
Awesome.
I sort of sat there and stared at it for a few minutes and thought, you know what? I've had a void of hockey road trips in my life for the last year or so. I might as well go to Corning and back on a Saturday because I got nothing else to do. So we're making the roadie. So, I mean, full marks to you guys for getting on board with that. I think it's important to continue to raise awareness and just encourage people to get the vaccinations as soon as they possibly can.
Yeah, well, I mean, the nice thing for you, if you're taking that road trip, it's a guaranteed win on the road trip, because, you know, that's you're winning by getting the shot. And again, like, it was an easy decision, obviously, to be involved in something like that. I just feel like I really struggle with how our young people are handling all this, to be honest with you. I can't imagine just losing out on the normalcy of growing up and being around friends and things like that. And what this allows us the opportunity to do is be safer and stop the spread. So,
right.
I want more people to be able to enjoy things that we used to enjoy. So, and,
yep.
You know, thanks to the county for having it set up, and hopefully it reminds people that there are lots of seemingly lots of opportunities out there and appointments popping up open all the time to go out and do it.
No, that's right. In fact, after I made that appointment for my youngest son in Corning, I just sort of refreshed the page again with all the different options, all the different sites, and one popped up closer to home, but it was a couple of weeks out, and I sat mm-hmm. there and thought, no drive. Wait a couple weeks. Forget it. We're in the system. He's got an appointment. I'm going to Corning. To heck with it. So, but that's just to say that if something seems like it's closed off at 2 o'clock, try again at 2:15 or 2:30, because appointments pop up all the time, like you said. So, that can be helpful. All right. Well, good on you guys all for that. You know, you mentioned the trade deadline is coming on Monday. It's always, I mean, you've been covering this team now a long time, and it's got to be, I don't know how much the pandemic plays a part in the uncertainty guys would be feeling. It's been a year like no other. I mean, the guys on this team have been through so much. I mean, all the losing, the COVID outbreak, you know, whatever that's meant to their personal lives and their families. I mean, there's been a lot, I think, to deal with. But now here comes the trade deadline, and I just got to imagine there's some guys that are, you know, even though the team's had a very, very tough year in the standings, it's still a very uneasy time because your future is about to be determined by maybe a couple of general managers.
Yeah, and I'm trending towards thinking, for whatever reason, that it's going to be a quieter deadline just because of the world we live in. That doesn't mean it's not going to be, you know, full of some significant action. I would be shocked if we reach numbers like we have in years past. But you're right. I mean, the weirdest part in all of this for me, and I'm sure for most in our line of work, is that not traveling, you know, not being around the guys after practice, in normal conversation through what our jobs have been over the last, you know, however long we've been in this business, it's hard to really know what all these guys are going through and what, you know, what their family dynamic is, what their living arrangement is like, you know, who's close, who's not, how are they, you know, like Allmark, for example, very well documented. I mean, just imagine the year that he's had. Loses his father, he's away from his two really, really, really young kids. It's an awful lot to try to handle. So I don't even know how the guys that are kind of on the trade bubble would be handling this at this point in time. Maybe they see it as, you know, a bright opportunity in what has been an incredibly challenging calendar year. I don't know. I mean, we're always in that world of to each their own, right? And some would probably embrace this, and others, you know, have every right to probably be concerned with not knowing what's around the corner come next week.
Yeah, I find myself being this year, I mean, I don't know how interesting this will be to our audience, but I imagine it'll ring for you. I think about it all the time. Like the Eric Staal, for example, right? Like there's not much of a contribution while he was here, and I know he went and scored an overtime goal his first game in Montreal, but you know, got traded here during a pandemic, didn't seem thrilled about the idea of having to leave his family. I don't think that has to have anything to do with the Sabres necessarily. It's just, I've got young kids, I got to move now, and they're going to stay there, so I'm going to go live like a, you know, like a kid playing junior hockey all on my own again. And like, there's, I don't know how I would deal with that. So I find myself wanting, and I don't think I always succeed, if you listen to the program, I think on a regular basis, I find it sort of tempering my frustration or even anger at, you know, at bad performances, because I can't imagine what some of these guys are going through. I mean, I used to travel 1 week a year with Mike when we first started working together, go to Super Bowl, and I hated being away from my kids when they were that little. I mean, for a week, Brian, you know, I guess it's like anything. You get used to it, I suppose. But, man, but it can be tough.
It explains why, obviously, that there was no way hockey was going to go back into a bubble scenario, because those that lived the experience last year felt so disconnected from their family. Despite the big prize at the end of it, which Tampa was able to capture, you know, it was too long for this group of professional athletes, and I would suggest most others, to even comprehend trying to do it for a longer period of time in a regular season. So you end up in the world we're in, and COVID outbreaks have happened, and we're, you know, hopefully seeing light at the end of the tunnel in Vancouver's nightmare. You know, but it's impossible, I think, to have incredibly strong opinions for, but more importantly, against anyone that may be a little bit off this year in their performance. Is it frustrating? Yeah, because some teams are doing well and some aren't. And one that's not just happens to be in our backyard. But I'm like you. I find it really, really, really hard to, you know, to not have some perspective when trying to form an opinion here. You know.
Yeah, if nothing else, like, it feels like I'm being nudged. This is my conscience, I think, doing the nudging more and more towards just wanting to take this year. Like, if I can, you know, copy and paste it on a Wikipedia page of Sabre seasons and just sort of highlight it and just put it in a different category. You know, it's like that goes over there. I mean, I know we want to shovel it into a landfill with the last, you know, the previous nine seasons that weren't playoff years. And, you know, everyone will do what they think is right. But, you know, I'm starting to, you mentioned you used the phrasing light at the end of the tunnel. That's sort of what's starting to happen with me, with the team in general. Like, I say it a lot to sort of remind us all, there's going to be a hockey team here next year, you know, like, and we're probably going to be able to go to the games again. And I don't know, like, who's going to be on the team and how eager people are going to be to buy back in, but like, it will keep going. And, you know, whatever the wreckage of this year ends up being, ultimately, and who stays and who goes, you know, there are going to be people that are playing now that are going to be on this team. And, you know, Dahlin was a real bright light and has been for maybe multiple games now, but Tuesday was the sort of the wraps coming off of Dahlin with the goal and the assist. I think Mittelstadt qualifies as that. I mean, I'm curious what you're watching, you know, the last few weeks here with this team, and specifically a couple of players that were not having really good years. Mittelstadt really wasn't even in the lineup until you know, a certain point here. But Dahlin specifically, Brian, I feel like that star is starting to shine again.
Well, what we saw specifically against the Devils the other night was exactly, I think, the examples of how he wowed us in the first year. And when you think back to that, you know, you always knew that he'd be kind of walking that tightrope when it comes to, like, greatness. And you know what? Sometimes it's going to fail. But I feel like we've kind of lost that for a lengthy period of time, where Rasmus didn't necessarily put himself in that position to walk the line, and then just blow our doors off with something magical. And to think that he wasn't either able to or in the right place to, or whatever reason was holding him back, you're right. Like, that has to be the thing that this I would say franchise, should embrace the most here is if he, and I get it, I know the games don't really matter now because of where they are in the standings, but you don't want it to be going the other way here in the final 20 games where everybody has checked out and you see no signs of progress or restoration of that great skill set that brings guys into the NHL to begin with. So, Darlene, yes, I mean, just keep on giving us those moments of wow factor. The one thing, Bulldog, I'll say is it's, and again, injuries up and down through the roster this year beyond the COVID. I would love for them to be in a position to know or have a really good understanding who ultimately Darlene's partner was going to be moving forward. I am really enjoying, in this short window here, his time with Henry, but I also really enjoyed his time with Will Borgen in a really small sample size. And I'm a big Borgen supporter, so it's been really tough to, you know, think back to how brief his good time with us was this year before injury struck. So hopefully it doesn't become a thing that really matters, because if Darlene's as great as what his number one status in his draft year was, then yes, he'll be able to play with others. But I would love to see him in a really comfortable pairing. But beyond that, I mean, I think it's a nice progression right now for Mittelstadt and Thompson, who are familiar with each other. But the surprise to me right now is the goal scoring of Rasmus Asplund, because I think as much as he was able to, you know, find an offensive range in the American League while playing predominantly with Victor Olofsson in Victor's biggest year down there, I think most always saw him as, you know, a bottom six guy. But and that's not to say he won't be. It's just like we've said going into this year, the bottom six needs to contribute. You know, like they've got to find ways to score. Like that's why their 5-on-5 is so bad right now, because the bottom six is not necessarily, you know, blown the doors off. But of course, some could say, well, the top six hasn't done that either, which is why they are where they are. But I'm enjoying Asplund's just, you know, kind of ability to find himself in good places to score. And that's been a bit of a problem all year for some other players on the team. They simply haven't put themselves in the best positions to score. So I like where Asplund's confidence is right now.
Yeah, nice. And Mittelstadt made a real classy play on that goal too. And like that's a guy absolutely I mentioned here along with Darlene. I mean, Darlene is of more importance, I think, obviously moving forward. But, you know, Mittelstadt might be, Brian, a lesson in sort of not, you got to remind yourself sometimes, like not every guy shows up right out of like a year out of the draft and is ready to play in the NHL. Like they're not all fully formed guys. And Mittelstadt, I think, whether it's through the humbling of being sent to Rochester, like hearing him talk about not taking ice time for granted anymore, I think is something to sort of keep in mind, that like some guys might make a mistake at a young age, just assuming they're going to assimilate seamlessly into the best league in the world because they were the eighth pick or, you know, whatever. They're highly touted and they had success, you know, every stop along the way. And, you know, they get here and then suddenly they hit a roadblock and maybe they're not real sure how to deal with that because it's been a long time since they dealt with any real adversity. So if a guy like Mittelstadt dug in a little bit, whether that was just sharpening up mentally or just digging in more physically, I see a different player on the ice this year.
I think it's both, Bulldog, and I think when you look at Mittelstadt, I think there's still, as there is for most, but because we're focused on guys who were top 10 picks, I think there's incredible room for growth from a physical standpoint, just a muscle mass, you know, just a stamina standpoint, quite frankly. Like I think if he's on the right path, that this could be really impressive to watch where he might still be able to get to. So, and I would say this to tie in with what you were just saying, you know, from an age standpoint, an experience standpoint, and nothing coming automatically. And I'm sure there are other examples around the league. I have watched a ton of the West Division this year, and Minnesota's been one of the best stories in the league. And, you know, they went through their own COVID issues too. But if you really dig into their roster, take a look at the guys who have taken a meaningful step for them this year. They have a boatload of age 24 to 27-year-olds who are now really nightly contributors for them. And I just think it's a really strong reminder of keep the character that you want and help it develop. And look, Minnesota made some significant changes too, but the wonder kid that they brought in from Russia in Kaprizov is also in that exact age window that I'm talking about.
Yep.
And, you know, there's a lot to be said for that. There's a lot to be said for hitting an age where it all starts to feel a little bit more natural when going against the best in the world. And Minnesota's, you know, hey, the last line of defense has been really good for them too. They've had a 24/25-year-old rookie goaltender who's paired up perfectly well with Talbot. So yeah, the last line of defense is always the most important. It's going to save your season more times than not, but it's not just about goaltending. So I've been kind of fascinated with how Minnesota's been constructed and what they've got out of the mid-20s guys this year.
I will say this, like I they have been a team for most of their existence, and I'm not sure this is not like a seriously studied opinion, but they just never really moved the meter for me. And this year, when I see them this year, they look different. They look young and fast and fun. And I've never thought about the Minnesota Wild as being young, fast, and fun.
Right, and yet their age per se doesn't put them like in the realm of the Devils, where they're, you know,
right,
age 25. Like they feel young, but I think they've got a lot of games under their belt, and that's a beautiful combination. And not to forget about the former Sabre contribution, but unfortunately he's out right now due to injury. But Marcus Foligno was crafting his by far best NHL season. He had 16 points in 23 games, and he was absolutely the leader that many, you know, kind of saw him, and not unlike his brother, right? And it just goes to show, like, there are qualities in so many of these players, and sometimes it just doesn't come out as quick as you would like as far as being able to make some other guys around you a little bit better. But Foligno was absolutely doing that this year. So, I mean, their deadline acquisitions, if you will, may well be guys like Foligno coming back from injuries. And I'll be watching them all the way. I think they've been an absolutely fascinating team this year. And they are knocking right there on the door now at the top with, you know, Vegas having a little bit of a skid right now. So it'll be fascinating.
Before you go, how have you liked this setup? I was really grateful. I miss seeing the Canadian teams play the Sabres, and just in general, I cut the cord, so I don't have the center ice package anymore. So I'm just not seeing as many of the Canadian teams as I normally would, Brian. Like, I was really grateful that Montreal-Toronto was on NBCSN last night. Like, oh yeah, I get to see that. Occasionally one pops up on ESPN Plus or something. So I've seen a few. But in general, what are your thoughts on how this has worked? I know Canada must be loving it, and there probably will be some push to add extra Canadian games amongst that group, even in a regular season, once we get back to like a normal format. But I'm getting a little tired of seeing all the same teams play one another.
Oh,
I have to say.
Yeah, it's funny. I don't love it for what we are witnessing all the time within the East Division. And I have cut the cord almost completely on Canada. So I find myself watching more of the Central and the West. And I just think because I have, like, it's so impressive to watch Colorado and Vegas and Minnesota that I find myself enjoying the fact that I know that they're almost always going to be going head-to-head or throwing St. Louis in, and now they're the big wild card, because, like, Binnington might have found his game last night, and if they go on a surge here at the end, it's going to be the most impressive thing this year, because they are playing predominantly the best teams in the division. So if, like, they can steal games from here on out against Colorado, Vegas, and Minnesota, like, look out for St. Louis in the playoffs. So on one hand, I've enjoyed it, but the other hand, like the real, you know, Buffalo's division, repetition, I don't love it. I'm looking forward to seeing more of the league. Is there a happy medium somewhere in between? Maybe, you know, we might see that. But and honestly, if it's in balance, so what? Like, if they feel like in Canada they need to have more nationwide rivalry games, so what? I really don't care. I mean, at the end of the day, it would just be nice to get a 3-point win system in, and I think everybody would feel a little bit better about that. But yeah, that might not be on the front burner right now. So
yeah. All right, Brian, this has been great, man. Really nice to catch up with you.
Thank you.
We'll all get to a rock show soon.
Absolutely. Can't wait for that.
All right. Best to you, and say hi to Marty for us. I'll be watching. I'm there every night. So I'll see you guys on the TV tonight, man.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.